Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on this November the 17th, 2019. We're going to be studying today the last lesson in the series. This is the sixth lesson on knowing God's will, or how to know God's will. And we've had some wonderful studies in this series. God's will and my will was one of them. God's will in the Bible, God's will in the Holy Spirit, God's will in the church, God's will in my circumstances, and then today, God's will and the glory of God. And so I hope that you've enjoyed those lessons. Hope you've been able to listen to all of them. Some of you are so nice to us and have told me in recent days about how you've listened to the lessons and appreciate and enjoy
Amen.
Us doing them. And that's like Sam Sickum to a beagle dog.
So, Amen. Catch that rabbit.
You know good and well we appreciate that. We're going to start out this morning, we're going to study in John 11, verses 1 through 4 and 38 through 45. So if you're not driving down the road in a car, a big semi-truck or whatever, get your Bible, or if you happen to have available the Lifeway quarterly magazine for adults is what we're using out of the fall quarterly. But either way, you'll see where we're going. We make up our own outline, and we may run a few rabbits when we get going on, but you'll enjoy the rabbit trails that we lead you on if you'll just stay with us. I want us to introduce ourselves this morning, and then we're going to get started. So tell me who you are, Mike.
I'm Mike Hall. I'm pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, and I'm just so proud to be here.
Well, and I'm Brandon Pinion, and I'm pastor of Moore's Bridge Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa County, and I'm, like Mike, I'm proud to be here.
And I'm proud both of you are here.
Amen.
And I'm Herschel Owen, Manual Baptist in Gordo, Alabama. So, okay, let's have a word of prayer. Mike, you lead us in that, please.
Let's pray. Father, we just bow to thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word and to share our thoughts, and hopefully, Father, to share your thoughts through us to those who are listening today.
Yes, Lord.
You know every person who's listening, and you know every situation they're in and their life circumstances. And God, I know that you, through us, can and will speak to each and every one on an individual basis.
Yes,
and so I ask you this morning to take this moment in time and use it for your glory and our good in Christ's name. Amen.
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 So, this lesson will not tell you all the if and ands and outs and all the buttons to push, but it will tell you that God's will does include His glory. God is going to be glorified, and we have a great, great opportunity and a great blessing in trying to know God's will and then to do God's will to be a blessing to others and for the glory of God. Now, today's lesson is about a family. I had two sisters and a brother. There was Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they lived at Bethany. I used to pastor a little church. Not at that same Bethany.
Okay.
But at another Bethany. And had a good time and a good ministry and good people there. But we're going to see what happened to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and how that this situation they're going to deal with is going to bring glory to God. It's clear from the Bible lesson that this family were real close together. They loved each other.
And
they loved Jesus.
Jesus spent a lot of time with him. He spent time in their home, and it was his go-to place when he'd be coming into Jerusalem. So that's a wonderful story, yeah.
It is, and I suppose more than any other home, because Jesus spent a lot of time just out on the mountain.
He did.
And he told one fellow who said, I'll follow you. You remember what he told him, Brother Brandon, about his home situation? Jesus says,
yeah, he said, that fellow said, I follow you wherever you go.
Yeah.
But he said, I don't have a place to go.
Right.
I don't have a place to lay my head. So wherever he found himself at that particular time or got tired, he just made him a bed and rested a while and went on about his business.
He didn't have a condominium up in the mountains and down at the sea.
Well, if it did, he failed to tell us about it.
But he could have if he had wanted it.
But it all belonged to him.
That's what I'm talking about.
Whole he created the mountains.
The whole mountain did.
Yes, sir.
But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. The most shameful death of all.
Absolutely.
So he set the example for us, and he set the example in loving people, and thank God for the lesson that we have today, because it's sure encouraging when you face sickness and death and problems in your own family, or maybe even in your own life. I'm going to share God's will and giving God glory always. We're going to share that. That's the first topic. Secondly, Jesus' response at Lazarus' tomb brought God glory. And then Lazarus' miraculous return to life glorified God. Mike, you're sitting on the right side, so how about reading that first scripture?
We'll do it from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.
And one of the things, Brother Pinion, that I've observed, and is certainly true in this lesson, and it's always true in life to some extent, is bad things happen in life.
Oh yeah, sickness and disease and difficulties are going to come. It doesn't make any difference who we are. We can serve the Lord or we can live like the devil.
Well, yeah, but now, wait a minute. If you got enough faith, if
you
got enough faith, you ain't supposed to get sick, right? Ain't that what the Joy Boys tell you on TV?
Well, that's what they tell us, but I never have found it to come to be a reality.
Well, and they hadn't either. Mm-hmm. They just want your
money.
Well,
it's kind of like some of them I heard one time on the radio. You send me a piece of garment.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I will sew that garment together and wear it and sweat while I'm preaching the word.
Right.
But now be sure and send $5 along with
you. That's right.
Nathan got $100.
Probably or more.
Well, it has now, but... That was their gimmick.
But let's start this lesson off by letting folks know right away, bad things do happen to
good people.
You got bad things happen to you, just like they happened to me. I'm old enough now and seen enough now that it does happen to me.
Yeah,
a lot of folks, they'll avoid going to the funeral home. They'll avoid visiting sick folk and everything else. Because you don't want to be reminded that you yourself are mortal, that you can and will someday die if the Lord don't come again first. So we need to recognize, first of all, that this old boy was somebody that Jesus loved dearly.
Oh, yes.
And there was no doubt, because the Bible has already taught us before John chapter 11, he's already taught us that Mary and Martha had faith.
Yeah.
This is not a family that lacked in their faith for Christ. And so bad something has come into their life.
And
that's a big deal. A big deal.
Tell them, Mike, in your own experience, what you've come through. And this ain't a sad, weeping, send an extra $100 story. Because we don't ask you to send anything. But tell about how you know that these things happen.
Of course, over the years, I've had a lot of stuff. I've had the accident back in the
burn
78 when I got burned really bad. But here recently, and this story came to mind when we was talking about doing this lesson, I was fixing to plow my little old garden, and the doctor called, and he'd been checking me for kidney stone, had a pain, and beside and so forth. But anyway, and he called, and when I heard the doctor's voice instead of the nurse's voice, you know how the nurse will call you and tell you, well, you your triglycerides is high and you, and all of this, your blood pressure is okay and all that, and do this and don't do that, all right? This time was the doctor's voice, and the doctor's voice said, we found two masses on your kidneys, and we need to check it out further. Well, I was just fixing to get on my little old tractor. I was fixing to plow the garden. And, man, it was like a...
ton of bricks.
Yeah, because I'm expecting, well, we found a couple of kidney stones, and you come on in, we'll crush them or get them or we'll whatever. So, anyhow, I went on to the garden and plowed. But in the process of going through that, of course, your questions. Number one, is it cancer, you know?
Yeah.
And number two, you know, what's going to be the outcome? Because if anybody tells you you got cancer, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, the next 2 days later, went to the doctor, and sure enough, they did the scan and all that, and there was two malignant tumors. Both of them were cancerous, and both of them had to be operated on. And to my dismay, the urologist, surgeon, doctor said, but I can't operate on you for this cancer because I can't get to it. I'm going to have to find somebody else. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. You know, is it that bad? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going downhill instead of up. So anyway, long story short, he said, I'm going to do some checking and I'll get back with you. So that night I went home and, man, I'm laying there wide stone awake. I mean, I'm laying there thinking, okay, God, I don't understand this. I'm a pastor. I'm doing my best to, you know, to serve you. And I'm not questioning, you know, yeah, it's cancer, all right? It's the big C, what we're going to do. And I trust you, you know, because all of us know, listen, there ain't no doubt in my mind, God can do anything. Yeah. If God wants to heal you, he can heal you. If God don't want you to get this cancer to start with, he can keep you from getting it. And I prayed and prayed, okay, God, you know, I'm trusting you to heal me. I'm trusting you to heal me. And I prayed that prayer for I don't know how long that night. And all of a sudden, it was just like I said, you know, well, Lord, This may be what kills me. And then it was like a thunderbolt that said, well, if it ain't this, it'll be something else sooner or later. So what's your problem? Do you trust me or not?
Amen. You know?
And I said, well, yes, God, I do trust you. And then I realized what our lesson is saying today. The glory of God. And I began to weep. And I just said, God, look, I'm sorry. I would love to be healed
right. And
have a lot more years to serve you right. And be your pastor or whatever you want me to be. I'd love to do that and be my wife's husband and have all the fun things and all that. That's what I'd love to do, Lord. That's what I'd love to do. But here's what I want more than anything else in this world. I just want you to be glorified.
Amen.
If my healing will glorify you, that's fine. If my death some way through this process will give you glory and glorify you, that's wonderful too, because I know the end result is I'm coming into your presence.
Right.
And when that happened, I went to sleep, slept like a baby, and hadn't missed a minute's sleep over it since. Of course, the rest of the story is, of course, we ended up having to go out to Oklahoma City and get surgery and all that stuff. Everything went fine. Couldn't have gone any better. You know, the doctor said it was the most difficult robotic surgery he had ever done, but he said it went smooth, and he said we got it done. And you know, God just laid. I could give you the whole story, but I won't do that. But to me, it's about God's glory, and I was struggling at the beginning. How could it be God's will that I have cancer? That don't make sense to me. It don't make sense that it could be God's desire for me to have cancer. But if you read this story, and this is the story that came to my mind. That Jesus said, this is not a sickness unto death. But wait a minute, Lazarus did die, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus raised him back up again. There was the glory in that we don't understand completely. There were some people around that tomb that saw that needed that, you know, that God used that. His death, not only his death, but his being raised again was all to the glory of God. Jesus told him, said, I'm going to be glorified through this. The girls had a hard time understanding that because, as you know, they went on and didn't want their brother to die, and they didn't want to go through. Neither do I. Neither do any of us. I'd love for the Lord to come again and just take us away. But my whole point on that of the story is, you know, come to that point no matter where you are in your life today. There's several people in my church right now that are struggling with cancer, some who have already gotten the diagnosis from the doctors that if God don't intervene, they're not going to make it. And that's tough. That's hard. You know, I never got to that point, but if I had of, you know, I think God had already given me the peace over it. But so we need to accept, no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, the good things, glorify God. But if it's the bad things, let it be to God's glory. Glorify God.
Still.
That's exactly right. Brandon, you struggle with your health problems every day. But we do it to the glory of God. Can somebody look at my life and glorify, praise God over it? And I'm telling you one thing I learned through this and through the years of my ministry. If you want to shut Satan's mouth real quick, you just start glorifying and praising God.
Amen.
And you'll see real quick, like, he'll stop throwing them darts as fast and as frequent.
He'll move them down the road for a day or two. Anyhow.
That's right. But if you'll cower down and go to whimpering and woe is me and all of that, he's going to keep them darts coming, because you can't glorify God in that kind of an attitude. And when you just start glorifying God every time he throws one, you jump up and praise God, hallelujah, you know, be glorified, Lord, in your name, and move on. Satan going to figure out real quick, like, that he needs to leave you alone for a little while.
It ain't working. He ain't got sharp enough darts.
But to be sure you understand, I know, like everybody else out there, that like Elijah, who crawled up in the cave and felt sorry for himself, and others throughout the scripture, yes, we're all subject to that. We have
it's
to be careful
nature.
Of it.
But it's called whining.
It's called whining, and we don't love to do it, but we do it.
Yeah.
Because we're human. But don't let it control your life. Glorify God.
That's Amen.
God, whatever's going on in your life right now, and you're listening to me, I'm telling you, whatever's going on in your life right now, God can be glorified through it, and will be if you'll let him.
But Mike, that's what Jesus said.
Exactly what he said.
In that passage you read a while ago, Mike.
But somebody's listening to this that's going through facing what you did. Now, I can't tell them about discovering cancer.
No.
Because it didn't happen to me.
I couldn't before that either.
But see, now God's getting glory there.
That's right.
And getting an answer and a possibility for them. Now, there's two things I want to bring out of this. Number one, everybody that gets cancer is not a wicked, sorry soul.
Not at all.
So don't you go and
not at all.
Say, well, right. if they'd been living for the Lord, they wouldn't have got it. No, friend.
You no way.
You made a terrible mistake there.
That's right.
It's the case, because it happens to good, godly people. And Mike Hall is one of the finest Christians I know, and I'll get my $100. But he is, and Brandon Pinion, right now every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday goes for dialysis. His kidneys have failed. Mm-hmm. There ain't a man in the world that I know of I love any more than these two men, and yet they both have gone through terrible, terrible things. I myself have, but it hadn't been the same kind of thing they've gone through.
Well, and you know, we talked about the rest of the story. You know, just 6 weeks after the cancer surgery, I'm at home and recovering from total hip replacement.
Yeah.
And out of all of that, I've missed 3 Sundays and 4 Wednesday nights being in the pulpit. That's God. That's not me. That's
God.
You think
God didn't get glory
out of
that?
Absolutely.
It is.
People have marveled and said, wow, you know, God can.
But you could have gone perfectly healthy the rest of your life. Preach marvelous messages like you do, and Brandon does too, and God could not got the same kind of glory
Absolutely.
As he did after what y'all both have been through. And I've been
Absolutely.
Through a different kind of stuff like that.
Absolutely, we all have.
And but don't feel sorry for yourself, and don't judge somebody, and don't blame God.
Absolutely.
That is
a fault that a lot of folks have, Herschel.
Yes.
Is when they get sick, first thing they do is blame God.
Especially
if they've been faithful servants of His.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Lord, I've done this and this and this.
That's right.
And now you bring this on me.
On me, yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't deserve this, God.
Yeah.
What are you doing with me? Well, why should I not? The song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone
That's
and
right.
all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone.
That's
there's
right.
a cross for me.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying cancer is a cross, but
right.
it is a test.
It is.
It is a test.
It is a test.
It is an opportunity for God to be glorified or for us to destroy our testimony in complaining about it instead of saying, we're going to serve God. Job said, yea, though he slay me.
That's right.
Still will I serve
him. Yeah, will I serve him.
And I remember old Job more,
right.
more for saying that than I do most any of that.
Yeah, and a lot of people look at that story of Job and they think, well, but in the end, old Job got a whole lot more than he had to start with. Can I share something real quick with you?
Yeah.
I am too. Because one of these days I'm going to have a mansion that's greater and more wonderful than anything I've ever imagined. But most of all, one of these days I'm going to get to see Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to be in his presence and look into his face and know that I'm there forever in eternity and all this other mess will be gone. Listen, Job didn't have nothing in the end compared to what I got waiting on me.
That's right. You're right.
Well, that falls true, Mike, for anyone that knows the Lord.
Amen.
As
yes,
their own personal Savior.
Hallelujah.
I'm not talking about know about him. I'm talking about knowing him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And the pardon and forgiveness and cleansing of all of our sins.
Amen.
And everything that would separate us between him in any way is cleansed. And
right.
he's made a place for us. And that's where we're going to wind up.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm kind of like you. I got a few years on you.
Yeah, yes.
I might have some maladies on you that
you
don't.
Do, amen.
That you, I haven't had what you've had.
Well, but
and you haven't had what I've had.
That's right.
But we've both been sort of plagued. Herschel the same way.
Absolutely.
He hadn't had anything that we've mm-hmm. mentioned so mm-hmm. far.
Right.
But his have been problems that he's discussed with us.
Burdens just as heavy.
In every way. But one of these days, we're all going to have a mansion.
That's right.
Now, Brother Pinion, now, you know that all the gospel songs are right, and there's one that says, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner.
In the corner of glory land, don't you say
well,
that
what
song.
What if he builds you a cabin there?
I ain't singing that song.
I don't like the song. Because there's a lot of songs that are not doctrinally sound.
And that's one of them.
That's
according
of them.
To the Word of God.
What did Jesus say? I've gone to prepare a place. And he said, was it a log cabin?
No, he said, I'm an old cabin. And I love my little cabin in the woods that I live in now. But
it won't compare to what
no,
we
sir,
got.
No, sir, no, sir.
Or they got either that are listening to us
no,
who are Christians.
Sir.
So, listen, you got a whole lot more going for you than you got going against you.
That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And you just understand, well, I wish I could glorify God. You can.
Absolutely.
You can. You don't have to go to college 18 years and get 17 degrees and do work all over the world or write 10 books. You just be willing for God to be glorified in your life, even through sickness, if necessary, and sorrow.
And that's,
there are people with the talent and gifts to do just what you said, though.
Absolutely, there are.
But they're not going to inherit any more than you and I are going to inherit, because God didn't give us the abilities to
right.
do those 10 books and go all over the world.
And he doesn't require that of us.
No,
God's got a mission for them. Their ministry was to write them books. Has helped me a whole lot.
Yeah, you know, boy.
My old uneducated self, I can pick up their books, but they're no more or less important than I am in the eyes of God and in the work of the Lord. Neither is the boy that vacuums the sanctuary floor or the lady that cleans up the kitchen. I mean, we're all just as important in the ministry in the eyes of God. He created us, gave us our talents.
And they're necessary.
And they're necessary. And they all give him glory. And there's no measurements in God's eyes as this is greater or that one's greater. That's not at all.
Well, and the third thing I want to bring to your attention, and we're going to discuss it, is when bad things do happen, the first step you ought to take is to go to Jesus in prayer.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And get word to Jesus. Get word to the Lord. Now, look in verse 2. It said up in 1 that Lazarus got sick in Bethany, and that was the Lazarus that was brother to Mary and Martha, and that was the Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Somebody tell me something about that deal.
Well, great story that is, and it shows what we was talking about a while ago, the faith of this lady who loved Jesus so much that she took the only thing that she had of great value,
right,
and she just poured it out on his feet, and she anointed his feet, and she wiped it, dried the water off his feet with her hair, and she just showed her great love and commitment to this Christ. Surely nothing bad would happen to her,
right,
or to her loved ones.
No.
But certainly it did, just like in our life.
As wonderful as she, as her faith was, as wonderful as her demonstration of her faith was, it did not prevent.
Not at all.
The bad thing coming. Lazarus died.
Right.
But it also gave us an awareness that there is a right way and a wrong way.
Yeah.
To handle it when bad things happen to us. But now notice the thing she did is the right thing to do. And it says, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Mike, you said, well, good. The first thing you did when you prayed with God all night long, kind of like old Jacob did down there, was you went to the... You went to him.
Hey, let's do it. Nowhere else to go. I mean, I knew the doctors could do what they could do, but
there was only two or three in the whole United States.
There's only three places he could find it, could do the kind of surgery I needed. That's fine.
And the only one that I know can do what the
That's
other
exactly
part
right. God could have healed me without sending me out there. He could have kept me from getting the cancer to start with, or he could have glorified himself through me, which I know he did because I've heard reports. But, you know, that you do. You just take it to God and then follow his plan, whatever it is. Because his plan is to glorify himself. He's the one that deserves it. There ain't no glory whatsoever that I deserve. All I've done took the ride. That's it.
But the thing of it is that you remember that when you go to God, a lot of folks go and Sunday after Sunday at our church, they come to the altar.
Mm-hmm,
they get back up, and they just a sad face to everywhere when they can, because they carry it right back with them.
Well, unfortunately, isn't that sad, though, that they do that? I don't understand that part of it. And I know we tell people all the time, let me hit this mark, but, you know, just turn it over to God and leave it behind. Now, let me tell you, that ain't the easiest thing in the world to do. I'm going to tell you that right now, and y'all know it already.
Right.
That ain't the easiest thing to do, turn it over to God and leave it behind. Sometimes you just got to get in a position with God where he can show you, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. He has to show you, I got this. And he will.
I know some scripture, and I know a Christian song that is Bible-based. The scripture says, come unto me, all ye that are
labor and are heavy laden.
And I'll
give you rest.
I'll sympathize with you.
Oh, no.
I can't help you.
No,
what
I
he say?
Will. Not maybe, not can. He said, I will give you rest.
Absolutely.
And that is an absolute fact.
And then the song that we've sung, that these a lot of people don't know now, take your burdens to the Lord.
Right.
And leave them there.
Yeah.
Now, that's my biggest problem, and that's what I've noticed people at the altar.
It is.
And they bring them.
That's right.
But they pick them up and carry them home with them.
Mm-hmm. Preacher, please pray for me.
Yeah.
And then they go back home, and they get in the rocking chair, and the devil comes again. Remember what the Bible calls him, accuser.
That's right.
That means that he's going to come right back with that same old pot full of doo-doo. And he's going to start pouring it all over you again if you'll let him.
Yep.
But now listen, don't sit there. Don't sit there and let him. Start praising God. Hallelujah. God, this is your hands. Start praising God. And that'll put the cap back on all that mess. Just keep praising God.
Just like you, Mike, when you got the news about your malignancy in your kidneys.
Yeah.
And my kidneys just quit functioning.
That's there you go.
And the poison was building up in my system. And they suggested that I take dialysis.
Right.
And I was dumb enough and stubborn enough that I didn't do it.
Yeah, didn't we spend some time in prayer about
that? Oh, we did.
Oh, hard head of yours.
We did. Yeah, we did. We did. And I'm glad we did.
Me too.
God finally gave the victory to me that, you know, I needed. Yeah. I needed some help.
That's right.
I was sort of like old Jerry Clark's friend when he got up the tree with the coon.
Yeah. You
know, I need somebody to shoot up there amongst us.
One of us needs some relief.
Yeah, that's right, man.
I was one that needed relief. But you know, I finally resolved the thing.
Sure.
And said, now, Lord, whatever.
That's it. There you go.
And then I started dialysis.
Man,
that was a turnaround for me.
Absolutely.
We're so glad you did, because you are right now presenting this story to somebody out there who needs dialysis, and they're saying, I just wonder, will it work? I wonder what will happen. How come God don't do it another way? Listen, it don't matter how he does it, if you'll just let him have the glory.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And here sits a man to my left that... is still preaching the gospel, pastoring the church.
That's right.
Teaching a Sunday school lesson on the radio, and so out of his sorrows, out of the mire, came a diamond.
That's right. Comes glory to God.
Out of an oyster that has a piece of irritating sand get in, he forms a pearl.
That's right.
And so that's what God wants us. Are we gonna be a criticizer? Because they didn't understand it. When they sent for God, Jesus ought to have dropped it right immediately. Got on the horse, saddled him up his fastest pony, and come on up there. But that wasn't the way God was gonna work it. No more than when you prayed, was he gonna come over there and automatically heal you? When you prayed and we prayed and for both of you, he didn't automatically make your kidneys just going to last another 25 years, but God did answer our prayer.
Did. It took weeks for that doctor to find another doctor that could do the surgery I needed done, and I'm telling you, it's frustrating as a dickens. Those tumors might have been there for years, but I didn't know it. But once I knew it, I want them out right then.
You're right.
We was frustrated, too, because we was praying for you.
We was claiming
the presence of God and the power of God to do it, and it wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening. It was just dragging around. Come on now. We need to get to the answer here. And Mary and Martha was the same way.
Yeah, they were.
Well, Jesus, will you come on? Yeah. Please, come on. What's he waiting on?
Where you at?
Yeah.
They walked out. I don't know what kind of house they lived in or what they did, but walked out and looked down the road toward where they had seen that messenger go to tell Jesus every day, many times a day.
Yeah.
When's he coming?
Lazarus is getting worse.
Yeah. And then he died.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, no.
Too late, Jesus. No need you coming now. Too late.
They thought.
Too late.
They thought.
That's right.
They thought.
So wherever you are, what we're trying to tell you, and these guys, I tell you what, we couldn't have anybody on here that didn't have some troubles that could have taught this lesson. But when you've been through the valley, you can tell them about the flint rocks down there and all you can stump your toe on and what things that will happen. So you are blessed, not because it's us, but because it is the people that have gone through these things are telling you that God's to be trusted in every circumstance. Let's move on now to the second part. Now remember, we're talking about God's will and the glory of God. The second part, Jesus' response at the tomb when he came. Let's just see what his response was.
Well, in John 11 again, but we'll start reading in verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
So I wish I could sing. Boy, if I could sing, I'd bless you just real good.
Just go ahead. We'll put up with it.
Karen Peck has a song called 4 Days Late.
Yeah.
Let me read a little words of it. The news came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he'll not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come, and they wondered why. The death watch was over. He'd been buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here. The Lord is on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you'd have been here, you could have healed him. He'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. When he's 4 days late, he's still on time.
Right on time.
and that's where we are. We're gonna rejoice in teaching that to tell you, you've been looking down the road for him to come. He may be 4 days late, but he's right on time.
He is, absolutely.
You just trust him to be right on time. Jesus responded at the grave. Look at in verse 38, every opinion. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. What does that tell you about Jesus?
Well, it tells me that he was sympathetic, and he was kind. And he was grief-stricken that his friend Lazarus had died.
Is he hopeless?
No. Not with him, it's not hopeless. No. But he had to show all of those that had gathered around, and there was always a delegation or an entourage of weepers and mourners and this, that, and the other at any funeral.
Right.
Similar to our day to day. I mean, man, if you want to be a friend, you just die and you'll find out who they are.
That's right.
Because you find some that wasn't, but say they are.
They'll either send word or they'll come by. And I mean, that's the way to do it. But in this case, old Lazarus just went ahead and died, and he didn't gather the delegation around him and had buried him. He was already buried. And
4 days he'd been buried.
He'd been dead 4 days, or he'd been in the grave four days.
4 days, yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
They said he'd been dead 4 days.
Dead 4 days, and in that kind of a climate over there, he'd get 120 degrees in the shade sometimes in the summertime, and if this was summertime, he was stinking. But it didn't matter with the Lord, because he came out as flesh, and he came out as healed, and he came out as restored completely. And one thing that interests me a little bit is that verse 42. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Some of them have offered over the years, and I've have sort of a tendency to agree with them, that if he hadn't said Lazarus come forth, there'd have been half that cemetery that would have come forth at the same time.
Not all, that's right.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
Come forth clapping their hands and praising and raising and praising God and glorifying him as a result of it.
So Jesus is groaning there. He's not a helpless, hopeless kind of thing. But he is illustrating to the people his humanity, because Jesus was not only And I'll get Mike to explain this theologically in a minute. How he could be totally God and totally human. He was totally human, too.
Well, he was. And I think the Bible, I tell my folks all the time, God don't waste words, because there's a reason the Bible says he was again groaning in himself. That meant that he was frustrated. When do you do this groaning business? And Brian mentioned a while ago about the crowd of people that was around him. Imagine in your mind if you could just see him as he walked, and of course that's the way they got around.
Sure.
But as he walked up toward that cemetery, graveyard, cave, there would have been an entourage all around him. People who believed in him and loved him. People who followed him and watched his every move and tried to learn from him. Then there was people who doubted him, who wanted to believe. They just curiosity wanted to see. And then there were people who hated him.
Yeah.
Scribes, Pharisees, those kind of guys, lawyers, who hated him and was always looking for a reason to rail against him. And all of these things going through his mind, but the sisters were there. And he knew how they felt, because they themselves, for the past at least 4 days, even more, right, because they sent word before Lazarus died. But they had been back and forth so misunderstanding,
right,
not knowing why he waited and why. And he knew their thoughts. He knew what they had been saying to each other and their doubtings by now, because they must have been doubting, or else they would have known he could raise the boy from the grave.
Right.
And so here they're doubting, and he's frustrated. He's sad. It's a sad occasion. But the sadness is more because of the ones who don't believe or the ones who are doubting than it is for anyone else. As far as raising Lazarus, you read on down through there where Jesus is praying to the Lord. It says, "I knew that thou hearest me always." Mm-hmm. In other words, Jesus is sort of speaking in a past tense. Because you know by that, Jesus has already talked to the Father for days. And he already knew what was going to come to pass. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And he knew the glory was going to bring the Father. But the frustration in Jesus' mind as he strolled up toward that grave. What do you say? What do you do? How do you magnify this moment into people's eyes to where they will believe in God? How do you do all of that? Well, as Jesus strolled up there, that was the groaning going on inside of him, the human side, agonizing.
But he says in verse 32, Mike, "And I knew that thou hearest me always."
Right.
But.
Because.
Going in a different direction
right
now.
Exactly.
He said, "Because of the people which stand by."
That's right.
"I said it, that they may believe that you sent me."
Exactly. That's what's
and
in his
that,
mind.
That was the reasoning behind it. Now, I think the groaning was real because of Lazarus' death.
It was his death.
But I do believe that he was always totally aware of God's presence with him.
Absolutely.
And he was wanting to make the presence of God with him a reality in the lives of those unbelievers. Are those that Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, all of those that
right
were always following him and sniping at him every moment that he walked.
And yet, it goes back to the reason Jesus was here to begin with. He left the glory of heaven to come to earth to save those same people who were all around him right then,
right,
doubting him, hating him, wanting to kill him. Want to get him out, and,
right,
and but he loved them so much.
Yeah.
You know that later he stood and looked at Jerusalem. "How I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me." You know, and all
wept
that
over them.
He wept over them, just like he wept at the grave of Lazarus.
Yeah,
and that's that. To me, that's the agony. We can't. Our minds can't fathom the things that Jesus knew about God as he walked into that cemetery. We can't fathom the magnitude of the little minor seemingly events in our lives that's affecting others around us. But we get so careless. We get so careless in living our lives that we think it's about us. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us at all. It's about him.
Yeah.
It's about God. And even Jesus here
He didn't make this event about himself. He talked to his Father. He's wanting these people to believe in the reality of God and of the deliverance they can have through him that they couldn't get any other way. There's no way that they were going to be redeemed from their sins. Even those self-righteous Pharisees that stood there and looked at this, the only hope they had was walking right there in front of them, and right. They hated him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, I know he's groaning, and I know he's frustrated, and I want to say, come on now, just like you do from the pulpit. You see people in the congregation as you preach, and you see it in their eyes, you see it on their face. They need to make a commitment to Christ, but they won't do it. They won't turn loose. They won't do it. What do? I mean, you groan, you cry,
you pray. And keep preaching.
And that's all you can do. And that's what Jesus continued to do.
Yeah.
As I've told young preachers many times, keep your plow in the ground. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated and walk away. Keep your plow in the ground. Just keep on plowing. God's going to send the rain, and he's going to give the increase. Keep on plowing. That's what Jesus did here. He kept on plowing. He raised the old boy from the grave. There were some there who believed. The glory of God was fulfilled. And others that walked away from there as lost as a ball in high weeds, and did not to that day ever receive Christ and believe.
And very likely still wanted to kill him.
Still wanted to kill him. Still hated him.
Well, I think y'all have dealt wonderfully with that side of it. And then I know that Jesus, it wasn't that he was saying, Lord, Heavenly Father, I'm at a loss. I don't know what I'm going to do, or what you're going to do, or what Lazarus is going to do. But when he saw the pain and the tears flowing down the face of Martha and Mary, and he saw their hurt, Jesus hurts when we hurt.
He does.
And so,
he
folks,
does.
When you run into a situation where grandma dies or mama dies or daddy, and you weep, you remember that Jesus is not hardened so that he doesn't feel what you feel. He does. And he wept, and he groaned. And because, not that it was a hopeless case, or not that he didn't know what he was going to do. He knew back when they got word some days earlier, he knew he was going to heal it.
Oh, he did. He knew when they, he already knew Lazarus was sick before they came to him.
Why did he wait 4 days, as my song that I couldn't sing said? What belief did the Jews have that he needed to wait 4 days to, if there was any hope for them to have any faith in it being a miracle? They believed that the soul...
Wasn't it something about the spirit departing the body?
And it hung around the body for 3 days.
Yeah.
For 3 days. They believe it hung around the body for 3 days. I want to have them get my fingers up there, but 3 days.
3 days.
3 days.
And and so if he heals on the second day,
ain't no big deal. No big deal. Yeah.
His spirit just went back into him.
Yeah.
But on the fourth day, too late.
Yeah.
Too late.
He's already thinking.
He's 4 days late, but he's right on time.
That's right.
On time. So the thing I get a comfort out of now that I'm a Christian and now that I'm saved, and then I look back and I remember that he wept no doubt over me many times when I was rejecting him and living an ungodly life and running from him. But when I hurt now, when I have a tumor on both my kidneys like Mike,
right.
when I have to go those days for dialysis, like Brother Pinion, and when I've struggled with a granddaughter that's been sick and she just don't seem to ever get healed of it, and have a daughter that was in a terrible accident twice in her life, and head injuries both times, and she's gone through so much, and then I've had sinful problems in my family that I have wept over. But when I go through those times, I remember that Jesus has wept with me.
Certainly he is.
He's wept with me. He's hurt with me.
He's there all the time.
He is all the time. And he is not too late.
Never.
It's not too late.
Never.
And so I see his, when he walked up there, a lot of them didn't know he was divine, but if they hadn't sent after that, but notice another thing, I noticed something. He asked them to participate in this.
He did.
What could he have done? He could sit that rock, get out of the way.
Yeah, he could have. That thing would disintegrate and blow away like dust.
But he said, I want you to be a part of this miracle.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Roll the stone away.
Take away the stone.
And so, humanly speaking, somebody or several somebodies rolled that rock away because they said normally, what I've been taught down through the years, that it would be a tremendous stone.
It's a tremendous stone.
And we know when Jesus was buried, when he was in the grave, that was one of the main concerns they had. How are we going to get that big old stone out of the way?
One person can't move it.
No. And they make a little old trench and roll that big old rock downhill in that trench to a stop over here. And so now it's got to be rolled back up the hill.
That's right.
To get out of the way. Well, somebody gathered around and said, well, he said to get it out, but Martha, you said it's going to be stinking there. Martha, you said he'd been dead too long. It's hopeless. But he said, just do what I tell you. Move that rock.
Yeah.
And he could have said, rock, get out of the way, and that thing would have jumped up.
It would have jumped and run and squealing and hollering if it needed to.
But he wanted us to do what we can do. So when somebody's hurting around us, or when somebody's lost around us, he wants us to do our part.
I can hear the tenderness in his voice when he spoke to Martha after she had said those words. Jesus said, Martha, honey, didn't I tell you? If you'd just be faithful, if you just believe, if you just trust me, you'd see the glory of God, you know?
Yep. And she did.
And she did. And she did.
But she was reluctant in it.
Aren't we all?
That's right.
That's it.
Aren't we all? That's
the point.
That's a picture of me.
Yep.
Many times.
Me too.
Aren't we all? That's just like he said to me that night. You know, hey, why are you agonizing over this diagnosis of cancer?
Yeah.
If it don't get you, there'll be something else down the road. What's your problem?
And what's a cancer to God?
That's right. Exactly. Didn't I say, you just trust me?
If he makes us from the dust of the earth, made Adam and Eve in the dust of the earth, then what's a cancer?
Exactly. And what difference does it matter? You know, my life or my death, all that matters is God's glory.
Glory.
That's what matters.
Glory.
You know, I mean, daggone, what's the problem?
So, we need to glorify the Lord. Now, the third thing, and we're going to have to do this because our time's running out. You can see we're enjoying this. We'd camp right here for a week, I guess.
Oh, we could stay a while.
As Lazarus' miraculous return to life glorified God, Brother Mike.
All right, John 11, starting verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Therein comes the glory of God.
Yep.
So this family sorrow was necessary for God's glory. If he had rushed up there on that fast horse he had, he didn't have a fast horse, because he even had to borrow one to come down into Jerusalem.
That's right.
The week
That's
of
right.
his crucifixion. But if he had had, or if he had had the Learjet, and he could have flew up there in 5 minutes and healed him, no glory.
No glory.
No glory.
And those that believed on him?
Well, the glory in that case, Hersher, would have been the fact that they had a landing strip for that jet you mentioned.
Come back down.
Yeah.
Because there ain't nothing there but rocks.
And I've flown planes for 50-something years, and I don't like to land them on rocks.
I don't think that would be too good.
And, especially a fast plane like that. But the glory, in this case, the glory came even in spite of the sorrow. But sometimes the families have got to go through sorrow for God
to
do.
Sometimes
you had to go through sorrow.
Sometimes individuals have to suffer.
You had to go through sorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've had to go through sorrow.
Yeah.
And some of you listening to us, listen, you're right in the middle of it right now. And you're saying them preachers, they don't know what they're talking about. Listen, we're not teaching you a theory. We're teaching you something we have walked.
That's right. Absolutely.
Been there, done that. Right.
Seen it, felt it, suffered through it. Yep.
And oftentimes, God's glory depends on our suffering and the sorrows that we go through. Now, I mentioned the family's friend shared in the miracle. First thing they said is move that rock. But now when old Lazarus, how do you reckon they felt when the rocks moved and back there in that cave, old smelly Lazarus lay deteriorating away?
Well, I believe the masses were shaking their heads.
Yeah.
Had to be.
Crazy. I mean, this is crazy. What in the name of God are we doing here?
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were rattling their brain trying to figure out how in the world this was all going to take place, but it did.
It did take place.
All they're going to do is desecrate that body, and the rest of us going to put up with a terrible odor, and that's all going to come out of there.
Or some of them back there thinking, all right, now, how's he going to pull this off? You know, what kind of trick has he got us set up for?
That's what Pharisees and
Sadducees said. What kind of trick is this?
These Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection.
No, not at all. Not at all.
All of a sudden, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, what did he do?
He came forth.
Bound still in
grave.
Bound and still had a napkin over his face.
Looking like a mummy.
Yeah.
Hand and foot, he's bound.
They had to turn him loose. They had to get the wrappings off
of him. It was a miracle he could even get to the door.
All of old spices and stuff that they had put on his body.
I imagine the Lord, when he raised him, he took him from where he was in the grave and just set him out here where the stone had been rolled away.
Yeah.
Could very well have. Whatever he did was right. If old Lazarus had to come shuffling out of there, all of a sudden he just placed him there.
Floated out there, whatever.
But
yeah.
God did it right. God did it right. And then he said to the friends, all right, your turn now. You've got a part in this. Loose him. He could have said to those grave clothes, just like he did that rock, could have said to that rock,
fall away, get off of it.
Get off of that man.
Get off of it, but didn't.
No, he said, for them, now you have faith. Here he is, a stinking old rotten corpse up there. You walk up there and unwrap him.
Yeah.
But much to their surprise, when they got up there and they loosed him, they found out, hey, this guy's not rotten. He don't have an odor.
He's not dripping.
Hey, look at his eyes. His eyes are moving.
Yeah.
I don't know what Lazarus said. It don't record that. But all of a sudden, man, Lazarus came forth.
And
Lazarus came forth.
Some people believed.
Yeah. That's the point.
The beautiful point of it all. And
amen.
You can too. Right now, you're listening to me. You can believe too. The glory that was brought to God the day of Lazarus' resurrection can still be alive today.
Tell them how quickly how that can happen.
If you're willing to put your faith and trust in this Jesus. This is not just a bedtime story of Mother Goose rhyme. This is an absolute fact of history that happened. Jesus really did raise him. But the beauty is that Jesus can raise you from that old dead life that you've been living. And that lifeless existence that you're having right now can turn into life of joy and peace.
Amen.
With God. God says, I'll forgive you. I don't care how bad you've been. I'll forgive you right now. I believe on the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. And I put my life in his hands. Lord, save me. Now, find yourself a Bible-believing church. Get in it today and let God start your growth as a Christian.
And that brings glory to God, eternal salvation to you, a joy that passeth all understanding. It don't take away all your troubles. You still going to have problems.
No, but it takes away your sin.
You're going to get cancers on your kidneys sometimes. Your dialysis is going to be necessary. walking through the hurts of seeing a 16-year-old granddaughter that can't go to school like she ought to. They're still going to come.
They are.
But if we react in faith and in love and belief, Jesus will be glorified. God's will is for Jesus to be glorified. You do it. Join us next week right back here on the radio.